coming up? What's going down? What's coming to our town? It's gonna be good.
Hope it don't flood.
Oh, it's what's upstream.
Good afternoon, Clear Creek County. This is What's Upstream. I'm your co-host, Mark Cuccinella, here with Lori Beckel. Good afternoon, Lori.
Hello, Mark.
And,
good to see
you
today.
It's good to see you. Let me get this out of the way. This is KYGT LPFM 102.7, 103.9 on your FM dial, streaming over clearcreekradio.com. Lori, would you like to introduce our guests?
I sure would. Our program today is on aging and retirement, and we have two people who can speak expertly to that these issues. And I think everyone in this room is actually living these
full disclosure.
Issues. Full disclosure. You can't see us, but we're almost all gray hairs.
One of us is no hair.
That's the other thing.
I am not.
So today we have Donna Klein with us. Donna from the wonderful Senior Center, a great resource in this community. And we also have another great resource in Jayla Sanchez Warren from Dr. Cog, who is here. Also as an expert, they'll both tell us about their experience with this, their role in this, and I'm very excited. But I wonder if before we get started, Mark, if I could read maybe, we have several PSAs today.
Yeah, but I just want to say one thing before you go any further. Dr. Cog is not a doctor. It is an acronym for the Denver Regional Council of Governments.
And, thank you. Bad on me. Should never use those kind of.
We're so familiar with them. That's the. But many people have never, maybe even heard of Dr. Cog.
Yeah, I think it's known that way. People refer to Dr. Cog mm-hmm. as that. But thank you for clarifying what it is. And Jayla will tell us more about what Dr. Cog is. But I'd like to first begin reminding everyone out there that the next Dude Talk Dinner is this coming Monday night, Monday the 12th of January. Remember, I think there have been three previous ones. They are picking up steam. I think more men show up at every one of these. And again, this is fits nicely into our conversation today. Because all ages, 18 and above, are encouraged to show up for the Dude Talk dinners. This is a time when men can get together in a relaxed, non-judgmental environment to enjoy dinner and talk openly about life's challenges. Each free dinner includes facilitated conversations guided by peer community leaders covering topics like stress, relationship, fatherhood, mental well-being, and anything else on people on the men's mind. The goal is to foster a culture where men support one another, normalize asking for help, and strengthen social networks. This takes place at the Club Hotel, 1601 Colorado Boulevard, begins at 6 o'clock, and again is happening on this coming Monday. You went to one, did you not?
Yes. They've had three. I've been able to go to one. I had conflicts the other two nights, but the first three were dinner was provided by Bojo's. And I believe this time it's going to be Tommyknockers. We sit at these large round tables, and I sat with a bunch of guys I didn't know and got to know, and we yucked it up and swapped a few lies, and then I got to see people I hadn't seen in years and years who were attending. So I met new people. Reacquainted with others. Yeah.
We want to make sure one of these flyers is up in the Senior Center, Donna.
Yeah.
I don't know if it is. But, yes, these do talk dinners, as I said. This is a free dinner, and there are wonderful sponsors of this. Smokin' Yards, Tommyknockers, the Club Hotel, Bojo's, and then our Community Health Alliance is who really helped put this together. And thanks to them for doing this. Yeah.
I've not seen that flyer up on the bulletin board, so please.
Yeah. We'll make sure that you get one, Donna. All right. So I think we're ready to roll. And maybe, Donna, why don't you start and just introduce yourself? For I can't imagine there are people who don't know who you are. but maybe for people who don't know who you are and your role in the community.
I don't know that I have a role in the community, but I do. I did at Project Support. I'm the past president of the board for the last 5 years, I believe. And Candy Lukow will now be our new president.
Okay.
When I was at Project Support, I had a few things that I wanted to do, and they've all been accomplished. And with the help of our board and other volunteers, we have a new place and a state grant to take that ugly paint off that brick. And then a very generous person is paying for the veranda to be rebuilt.
Wow.
The state felt that that was pure decorative, and there were other... It's a very competitive grant system, and there were people who beat me out on that one, but this very, very generous person is paying for that veranda.
Yeah, and it's a beloved building.
And it stands out now. Yeah. It doesn't just disappear.
Yeah.
It stands out.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I have a lot of experience with aging and not so much with retirement. I tried once 5 years ago, and it didn't, I don't know, I just wasn't ready to quit. So I quit working for money and started working for volunteering.
And that'll be a key piece of this conversation, because retirement doesn't necessarily mean you're done contributing, right?
Yeah.
So we'll talk more about that.
So we did that. So now I'm a week into retirement, and now that it's the right time for me to retirement, I am thoroughly enjoying it.
Oh.
I don't think I would have enjoyed it 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I still had things I wanted to do.
Very good.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you. And Jayla, would you introduce yourself, please?
Yes. I am Jayla Sanchez Warren. I am the director of the Area Agency on Aging for the Denver Regional Council of Governments. I know that's a really long title.
That's why they call it Dr. Cog.
That's why they call it Dr. Cog. But thank you for saying it's not a doctor, because I have had several people come up to me and say, are you Dr. Cog? And then want to show me parts of their body. And I'm like, no. The Area Agency on Aging is a federal designation. So there are area agencies on aging all across the country. And our job, we get our authority under the Federal Older Americans Act. The Federal Older Americans Act said we have to provide a whole bunch of services, things like transportation and nutrition and legal assistance and caregiver support and chore services and in-home services. There's a whole list of those services. And that's what an Area Agency on Aging is required to do under the law. So we get federal funding and we get state funding to do that. We have oversight from both of those entities. We cover the Denver metropolitan area. It's a huge area, 4,000 square miles, that includes Denver, Douglas, Jefferson, Gilpin, Clear Creek. I'm missing one, Adams, Arapahoe, and Broomfield counties.
Mm.
Yes.
Wow.
So it's a big territory.
Yeah.
I am a mountain girl. I live in Coal Creek Canyon, so I love when I get to come up to Clear Creek because I feel at home. And I have been coming up here for a number of years, just trying to understand what the needs are and how we can help folks. They're a little bit different. So housing is usually a need for everybody in my planning and service area, all those counties. But it looks different here than it does. Heating is different here. We talk about wood and oil still here. Mm-hmm. You don't hear that in Jefferson County or, you know, in Douglas County as much as you do here. When we talk about safety, safety is an issue for all older adults in my planning and service area, but safety includes dealing with wildlife here, mountain lions, bears, right? Mm-hmm. And how you do that. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite stories, Fabian Watrous, a long time. Mm-hmm. She was on my advisory committee. She told me of a time when there was a mountain lion sitting right by her garage door, and she honked at it, and it wouldn't move. And she was like, I don't know how I'm going to get into my house after a commission meeting. And I said, Fabian, you can't be messing around with this. You're like a snack for that for that mountain lion. Great stories, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. True stories.
Yeah.
Still happens. Not to mention things like no sidewalks.
Yeah, no sidewalks.
And safe places for people to get outside.
Yeah, well, back in the day, in front of the senior center, do you remember how the sidewalks used to be all mm-hmm. crazy? And there mm-hmm. that was a real hazard, and now that's fixed.
Well, mostly fixed. Yeah, we're working on that.
So that's but you're right. It's no sidewalks, and how do people get around if they can't drive anymore? Those are all issues that we have to think about and consider.
Yeah.
So we fund programs here, nutrition programs and transportation programs, and we contract with Seniors Resource Center to provide services up here in Homemaker. But they've had a hard time finding staff, so I have been interested in our conversations prior to this show about some of the resources that you have that I may be able to contract with to provide more services up here.
Terrific. Good to hear. I'm sure people are jumping for joy for that. Yeah.
I would think that transportation would be one of the key issues for a county like ours, where so many people live remotely.
Yeah.
We've fortunately have a bus service now, but it's, you know, unless you live in one of the municipalities or on the main routes, you're just getting to that the bus.
Yeah, it's the first mile, last mile issue, right?
Yeah.
Just getting to the bus staying stop.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that's
well, there's
an issue.
Bus staying, and I think Mark's talking about our roundabout.
Oh, the roundabout,
which is our local.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Local little van. And I'm assuming that's handicap accessible.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
So we fund Volunteers of America to provide transportation services up here, because the other challenge is most people's doctor's appointments are in the Denver metro area,
right? Yeah.
And so they have to go down there. It gets really hard when we're talking about dialysis or cancer treatment. Mm-hmm. I have talked to many, many folks mm-hmm. about they don't want to move to town. You know,
yeah.
And I understand that so well. And, you know, the quickest way for some folks, I helped a guy who was up here, and he said, if you put me in town, I'm going to die within a month. because he just felt like he couldn't thrive, right? And he couldn't relate, and he couldn't connect. And unfortunately, he did end up in a nursing home. He lived 2 months, but... Mm.
He called that one, though.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, you know, you can understand that everyone's sitting at this table. Donna, I'm not sure how long you've lived in Clear Creek County, but, you know, maybe I'm the newcomer. I've been here 45 years. But
30 here.
But
25.
Yeah.
Does that count?
Yeah. The point is that, you know, you make certain decisions, maybe sacrifices to live here for the wonderful benefits of living in the mountains. And you become so used to that, you don't want to give that up at the end of your life. You want to stay in your home.
It's a huge part of your life and your quality of life, right?
Yeah.
And so that's really important. And that's what we strive to do, is provide services. But it is getting harder and harder to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And primarily because of funding cuts that have happened at the federal level and the state level.
I'm sorry, but we have to talk about that. Okay,
yeah.
So let's dig into that a little bit. What are some of the major funding cuts that have happened already, and some that are on the horizon?
Yeah. So the next in 25 and 26 is where we have seen and will see the most changes in services for older adults. Big changes to Medicare, in the sense that Medicare is changing their formulary, what they will pay for, who they will contract with. Medicare Advantage programs, we've seen them reduce service in some cases and eliminate service areas. So there are parts of the state where some Medicare Advantage companies are not an option anymore. So if you live in rural areas, that gets harder and harder to get the kind of insurance that you need and that will pay for what you need it to pay for. If you're on Medicaid, the state has really revised Medicaid the last 2 years, and we are seeing big changes in Medicaid. So we're seeing caps on programs. We're seeing reductions. We're seeing, one of the reasons that the state is in the financial crisis as we enter this new legislative session that starts, we're going in with about a $700 million deficit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's largely due to Medicaid.
Yeah.
And so the state and Department of Human Services is working, and Department of HCPF, Health Policy and Finance, are really working to figure out what's going there and why the medical costs have skyrocketed and put some limits in that, because that impacts, when there's a huge deficit in Medicaid, the state's required to fill that. Here's the other thing that happened. At the federal level, they said, we're not going to give you as much money for Medicaid and Medicare as we have. So they shifted the cost burden back to the states. So that puts a really big impact on the state. And everyone is scrambling to figure it out. And we're watching as that's happening. Mm. One of the things that we do at the Area Agency on Aging is we're the SHIP, the State Health Insurance Program, Assistance Program. And so when people need help on what I just got notified that my Medicare Advantage program is going to drop me. What do I do? They can call us and we will go through. We are not associated with any insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
We go through and look at different plans and say, what medicines are you on? What, are you coming up with any surgeries? What hospital have you participated in? Who's your doctor? To help them make decisions about the best new Medicare program for them. Is it a Medicare Advantage program? Are you going to try and go back to standard Medicare? There's all sorts of, it's a hard decision to make.
If I could just comment on a couple of things you've said here. The shifting, the cost shifting from the federal government to the state government, I'll remind our listeners that the state government has to balance their budget.
Yeah.
They cannot run a deficit. So if $700 million are shifted that burden has been shifted to the state budget, then that money's got to come out of something else.
Okay.
And that's number one. And so they've got their work cut out for them to try and cover that gap. But then something else, you mentioned Medicare Advantage. I happen to have one of those plans. My plan for 2026 has an increase in my co-pays. I'm fortunate enough where I don't like it, but I can afford to pay it. But something that is peculiar to the aging population is once you've retired, you have no way to obtain additional funding. Whatever you're bringing in from Social Security, from your savings, a pension perhaps if you're lucky, that's it. That's what you have. And just as the state is squeezed because they have to abide by a balanced budget law, individuals are squeezed in the same way. They have just so much money.
Right.
And if If you have to pay more for medical, you may take that out of your food budget.
Right, absolutely. And we see that often. We see people cut their pills in half. They have to make choices. You know, we'll see shut-off notices for electricity or water because they just couldn't pay that bill. Mm-hmm. They had to pay medical bills or co-pays, right?
Yeah.
We see people delaying healthcare because they say, oh, okay, well, I can go to my doctor, and then my doctor's going to – there's a copay there. Then my doctor's going to say I have to go to the lab and have blood work, and there's a copay there. And then they may send me for a test, and there's a copay there. And I've talked with people who have, you know, $200, $300 worth of copays in 1 month. That's hard on a budget. And it gets even harder the older you get. So oftentimes I'm talking, or my staff are talking to people who are 85, 90. They, when they retired, their income was just fine. Mm-hmm. They never planned to live this long. And now they're living. Because that's the other thing that's happening, is we're living long. And you were just telling me about your miles and how many steps you walked. And I'm thinking, whoa, you are going to live for a long time.
I hope not. I don't want to be the last man standing.
But we're living in aging bodies.
You're living in aging bodies, and it just happens.
Big difference.
Yeah, it is. And so those things need maintenance, right? Like your classic cars, right? They just need maintenance.
And sometimes they need fixing.
Yeah. And
like all often. These joints that our friends are having replaced.
But to your point, it's much more expensive than it used to be.
Yeah.
And there's no way to fill that gap, right? Mm-hmm. And then eat and pay your bills, mm-hmm. your electric bills, your, you know, whatever you need to do. Mm-hmm. So it gets challenging. And we're seeing, you know, in Clear Creek County, you have the longest lived men in the area. So of all the counties of the metropolitan area, Gilpin and Clear Creek have the highest, the longest lived men.
Now, see, I won't sleep well tonight thinking about outliving my wife. That can't happen, please.
Well, and that's when you're thinking about that, right?
Yeah.
That's something that you have to think about. That's why I love your dude group. What does that mean for your county? Mm-hmm. How can you support those older men? Mm-hmm. And we don't think about that because that's not really a big issue in other counties. Mm-hmm. But it is in Gilpin and Clear Creek.
That's so interesting.
It is.
And why do you think, Jayla?
I think because I told you I'm a mountain girl, and so I'm married to a mountain guy, and he's always out there in the woods cutting wood, plowing the road, doing something, right?
Walking around. Very physical.
All the time, right? I worry. Sometimes he doesn't come out of the woods, and I'm like, uh-oh, I better go looking for him because I don't know. You know, his hips crotchety and his back's crotchety, and I'm like, oh, Lordy.
But he's out
but
there.
But he's moving.
But he's moving, and that's the key.
Yeah.
Movement, right?
Yeah.
And that's so, so very important, and I think that's the difference. Mm-hmm.
Donna, I don't mean to be too personal, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to.
Okay.
But we were talking before the show about your recent retirement.
Yeah.
You were sort of retired before, and now you're permanently retired.
Yeah.
Can tell us a little bit about your transition and what you went through as you transitioned from a full-time a worker trying to save for your retirement someday and support your family and all the rest into where you are now.
Well, when I worked for the county.
Uh-huh.
I worked for the Department of Human Services.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely loved my job. I was with the county for 18 years, 15 of it, and 16 of it with Cindy Dickin at DHS.
Yeah.
Loved the job because there's such a variety in that job. And that just for me is something I need. I can't just sit and I tried an engineering firm once where you do cut and paste and the contract's done. Can't do that. I needed variety. But in that job, I got to see a lot of things. I worked the LEAP program, which helped people who didn't have enough income to meet those Excel bills. At least got some help with that. Met some really nice people. I did the child care program because child care is exorbitantly expensive. I had no clue how expensive child care was until I got into that program, and it's a moneymaker for people within their home if they get licensed. But I was so busy all the time that when I turned 70 and it was time for me to retire, I couldn't just stop. And so I was,
that's the interesting part to me, because I think we all go through that, you know, that that emotional transition from working and feeling this is who I am, this this position that I have, the the job I go to 5 days a week. That's part of who I am, right?
Yeah. And as much as I loved my house and I loved where I was living, I just wasn't ready to quit working. And so I ended up, I started these things at Project Support. We were in between directors, and when we couldn't, and that was another thing, we could not find anybody to fill the gap, you know, because we needed a director for the building and we needed a manager for the thrift shop, because that job is busy. So I just kind of took it on, and then these other things came up. We needed a new boiler. I mean, the building is old to begin with. I mean, it was 130-some years old then. But these other things were put in 1986 when they built the additional apartments and things. Well, those things wear out too. Thank God for grants, you know, that we got grants to do everything, and we just, it was one grant after another, and now the building is perfect, pretty much perfect. We still have a couple of things left, but they're just minor things. The big things are done. I'm not volunteering right now. I'm not on the board. I'm not president of the board, but I'm taking a little while off before I go back and volunteer at the thrift shop.
So, so you went from full-time employment, and then you found this a volunteer position, and now you've resigned that. We'll call it resigning, and and now you're going to make an assessment, take some time, and assess what you might want to do, but remain productive, right?
Well, yeah.
See?
You can't cook all the time. My kitchen is my happy place. It's where I do thinking. It's where I, where if I'm upset about something, I'll go make cookies. I mean, but I don't know. You know, my kitchen's just my happy place. Again, living where I live, it's constant nature, which I think has a big effect on why people live longer up here than they do in the city. We have more greenery. Even if you don't want to go take a walk, you can just stand somewhere and be in the mountains and breathe the fresh, if you're far enough away from I-70, air. And, you know, I think that has a lot to do with why we're living longer, and we're stubborn. People
Hardy.
Up here.
Hardy.
Stubborn. Stubborn. I mean, when they say they don't want to go down the mountain to live, they mean it.
They mean it. I mean it, too.
And a lot of them have already lived here their entire lives. You know, we're getting fewer of that. These high school kids aren't coming back to live in Idaho Springs or Clear Creek, Georgetown, anywhere, which I think is sad. Because it's a great place.
It's interesting. For a while, I understood why that was happening. The mine wasn't hiring the way it did years ago. There weren't a lot of opportunities, put it that way, for permanent long-term employment, let's call it. And so, but now with the digital economy that we live in, I've noticed in my town, I live in Empire, that there's been over the last 10 years an influx of younger people who are maybe willing to commute to Summit or to the Denver area, or they work from home. But I'm confused as to why our native sons and daughters aren't taking advantage of living here as well.
Yeah,
Lori, you got any thoughts on that?
No. I did not raise my children here. And, you know, my children don't live here right now. My daughter is planning on coming back eventually after her international life, which she leads international schools internationally, and will do that until she retires. And then she's coming back to Clear Creek.
Yeah. So, can she hook me up in a school in Italy?
She could, actually.
Oh, wow.
She actually could.
Do I want to work? I don't know.
So I think we're moving towards a break, but, you know, my thinking here is that listening to the two of you and Mark and thinking about my life, you know, this phase we go through at kind of the end of our lives, moving towards retirement in these bodies that really are beginning to wear down a little bit. And then we have the emotional piece. So mm-hmm. there's the physical piece that's a challenge. The financial piece can be a challenge. And then this emotional piece of really preparing ourselves and then managing a new phase of life, which is different from the responsibilities we've had in the past, the ways people knew us. It's almost kind of like recreating ourselves mm-hmm. again.
Yep.
And it can be extremely hard. Yep. And I think after the break, I think, Jayla, you had one other statistic about the context in Clear Creek County.
Yeah.
Is how many people over 60 we now have, and that number keeps going up.
Yeah, you all have a very high percentage comparatively to the rest of my service area. So you have 32% of your population is over 65.
Almost a third.
Yeah. And so amazing. That is very, very interesting, right?
Yeah.
And I hope everybody, all of your, you know, county commissioners and your storekeepers and your restaurants think about this and what that means for their business and their work and what they do. Mm-hmm. Because it really is, you can make, I always say this, aging can be very challenging, but if you have the right people by your side and you have resources, it makes it a whole lot easier.
Yeah. Okay. So after our break, yeah. Why don't we then do some focusing on creating your community, if you don't have one, and then the resources and how we want to make sure people listening to us today do have resources that are available here in Clear Creek County.
Okay, let's take that very short break. We'll be back in about a minute or so. We're going to catch our breath.
In that set, we heard Idiot Wind from Blood on the Tracks, Born in Time from Bootleg Series Volume 8, It Takes a Lot to Laugh, It Takes a Train to Cry from Bootleg Series Volume 12, Ballad of a Thin Man from Highway 61 Revisited.
Okay, everyone, we're back, and this is What's Upstream here at Clear Creek Radio, and you're listening to KYGT LPFM 102.7, 103.9 on your FM dial, streaming over clearcreekradio.com. Lori, welcome back.
Thanks, Mark. And welcome back to Donna and Jayla. Thank you so much. Yeah, I just, you know, Monday's going to be a busy night in this county because I already mentioned the Dude Talk dinners. Mm. So all you gentlemen out there, think about that. There is also a community gathering going on Monday night, January 12th, from 4 to 8. So maybe men go to the community gathering until 5:30. This happens to be up in Georgetown, and then make the trip down here to Idaho Springs. But it is from 4 to 8. It is a time to create Project HOPE, which is an acronym for Help Our Preservation Efforts. Come put the unity in community. Join in to listen, learn, and lead. This is sponsored by the Alpine, which is where it's taking place. Sasha's at the Alpine, 1106 Rose Street in Georgetown. It is sponsored by the Friends of Clear Creek. And Clear Creek County is also on here. If you need any more details, you can email friendsofclearcreek, all one word, at gmail.com. But it's kind of a kickoff meeting to, of course, our Friends of Clear Creek have been doing great preservation work here in the county for many years now. I think you've been involved in
yes.
some of that, Mark.
Yep.
And this is just kind of a kickoff to bring like-minded individuals and environmentally focused organizations to meet each other, get involved, and maybe engage with each other for some new projects. So again, Monday night, 4 to 8 p.m. at Sasha's in Georgia.
Busy night Monday.
Okay. Busy night Monday.
Yeah. Well, okay, we're back, and we were talking offline that we've been focused on some of the challenges mostly of aging, but there's some bright spots out there too, and
lots of bright spots.
Yeah, there are.
There really are. Yeah.
Go ahead, start us off there.
Well, you finally have time in your life to where you aren't dedicated and spending so much time raising your children, supporting your family, and doing your job, your work. And you have time for some of the passion projects that you maybe have not had time for. Maybe some of the people that you haven't had enough time for. Maybe it's a time to create new circles around you. So, you know, and that's what I just feel so grateful for is having the health that I can spend time outdoors. I finished the Colorado Trail with my partner.
Wow.
Congratulations.
In August, all 500 plus miles.
Wow.
So time for those kind of things, I wouldn't have had time for those prior to retirement.
Well, Donna mentioned something when we were off air that I'd ask you to repeat that, Donna. Go ahead.
Well, I now have time to find out who I am.
See?
I worked for 50 years, and during that time, it's just my personality that whatever job I'm doing, I get fully involved in it. I spend hours at my job, and I get it done and everything, but I haven't had time to really figure out what I would really like, and now I do. I'm taking a couple of weeks off just doing nothing, but I'll figure it out. I'll find something I'm interested in.
And you look forward to it.
Oh,
it
I do.
Like, yeah.
For once, I'll just be who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, my happy place is my kitchen. That's good.
Yeah.
Mark loves it. But I'm fortunate that he set us up. I don't have the financial problems that a lot of our elderly do.
Right. Yeah.
Neither of us have medical issues that a lot of our elderly do. So it'll be nice and it'll be fun to mm-hmm. figure out and try different things, you know, whether I want to go take a pottery class or like that guitar lesson there or, you know, things
She's
like
terrific.
That. I've got time to do those things now.
Well, Donna, I'm so glad that you brought that up because it's easy for us to focus on the challenges of aging, and there are many, and we're not going to beaten around the bush on that, but there are joys to it as well.
Yeah.
You know, watching our family grow and make their own lives, that's been a joy for me in my life, watching my children and now my grandson as they develop their lives as well. I know you're married to Mark and you have that relationship, and I just find that I'm closer to my wife than I've ever been. And there's a deep appreciation for what we've accomplished together.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a deep appreciation for each other,
yeah.
that we look out for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's got my back. He knows I have his.
Mm-hmm.
And we just enjoy having time together. The first 20 years of our marriage, we were 24/7 because we just melted that way. I mean, we were just best friends, lovers, husbands, mm-hmm. wives. Mm-hmm. The hard part for us was when I took a job at the county and he went down the hill to his business and I went west mm-hmm. to the county. That separation was hard for us at first.
Yeah, well.
You guys are making me excited about retirement.
Oh.
I'm about 5 years out, I think, and I'm going, what the heck am I going to do? I don't know.
Don't worry about it. You'll figure
it
out.
And I love that you're talking about your relationship. I've been married for a long time. I love the thought that, you know, because some people, I say, my husband is driving me nuts.
Yeah.
But you guys aren't saying that. So that's wonderful.
No. Oh, I'm not suggesting I don't drive my wife nuts.
Yeah, she's not here.
Yeah. And he is a man, after all.
I think that's very exciting.
Well, I think another part of aging is you have to have a really good sense of humor. Really good sense of humor to get.
And it's interesting that you say that because there's a lot of studies, you know, we're aging as a mm-hmm. population nationwide, actually worldwide, and people are starting to study why do some people age well and mm-hmm. some people don't age well. There's genetics and all sorts of stuff. Access to resources and services definitely affects your health mm-hmm. and your ability to stay well. But happiness is so very important, and that ability to adjust to new situations, right? Mm-hmm. And a study I was recently reading said that folks 80 years and older are the happiest segment of the population.
Yeah.
And
who
isn't
would've
that
thought?
Something to look forward to? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's a coincidence that I'm going to suggest that the second happiest group are children under 10. And I see the similarities of the bookends of life.
Mm-hmm.
You're going through these rapid transitions as a child, and the same happens when you're older. You know, it's going by, and your body's changing, your circumstances in life are changing, and so there are similarities between the two, and there's joy in both.
I think one thing that's key is staying engaged.
Yes.
And also understanding what you need and how to get those resources, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you do have, it's harder if you're financially challenged.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder if you can't drive. It's harder if you have physical challenges. But are there resources out there for you that can help you mitigate some of those changes, right? And that's what I think people really need to look at. Again, it's getting a little harder. One of the cuts I didn't talk about is the cuts for the area agencies on aging statewide. My division lost $8 million in funding over the last 2 years, and we've had to cut back on services. We have focused on those critical services like transportation and nutrition and in-home services, helping people stay at home so they don't have to go to a nursing home
Absolutely.
Or assisted living,
yeah.
right?
And
so
could
that's
I just,
what, yeah.
Could I just quickly mention the community resource
yeah,
that we have to enable people to stay home? We don't have assisted living
Mm-mm.
here.
No.
So people may need help to stay in their home. And I just want to mention that our absolutely wonderful community crisis and health assistance team, fondly known as CHAT, provides free community paramedic services to address the non-medical factors that affect a person's health and safety to aging people in our community. So it is important for people to know that we do have some in-home services for our aging population that can help with medication management, resource navigation, health assessments, health education. And if it is a non-emergency situation, giving Elizabeth Gallagher a call at CHAT is the thing to do, 303-670-7566 is the non-emergency number. If it is an emergency, of course, you're going to call 911, mm-hmm. and dispatch will take care of you. But again, we do have some of this crisis support
so
that you're mentioning,
absolutely critically
Jayla.
Important. Mm-hmm. And they also yeah. focus on mental health issues, right?
Yes, they do.
And that's so important because there are times you just get bummed out.
Yeah.
And feel despair, right? Mm-hmm. And then with all the other world things going on, sometimes it just feels a little bit too much. And when you have that resource, again, you can get through things when you have good resources and good people to stand beside you and walk that path with you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think that we should all strive to do for young and for old, for everybody.
For
right?
everybody, that's
to,
right.
To just mm-hmm. stand aside. But really understand what the needs are in the community. You can also call, you know, Dr. Cog, and our information and assistance line is 303-480-6700. And we have a bunch of resources. We are also focusing on non-traditional resources, like what are churches providing?
Mm-hmm.
And where are the loan closets in the community, right? And is there a resource that can help build a ramp in a community that's a non-traditional kind of, you know, is there a volunteer out there that we could find? Because funding is shrinking, and so we're having to go back to community people mm-hmm. and say, how can we help
right.
these our most frail or most at risk if things don't go right,
mm-hmm.
young and old again, mm-hmm. anyone who has a disability, those kinds of things.
So if someone wanted to volunteer, would you, could you help coordinate that kind
we
of activity?
We have a number, yes. We have a Kelly Roberts on my staff coordinates our volunteers. We get about 300 people a month that call in interested in volunteering.
Excellent.
And we try and pair them with, you know, wherever they want to go and what they're interested in. We do a warm handoff. And so that's another resource. But my staff are like good detectives. They find out things. We've got, you know, how to bed bugs. Did you know we're number 6 in the nation for bed bugs?
Oh,
isn't that?
Stop it.
I know. But when you get bed bugs, it's really expensive to get rid of them.
Oh, and so hard.
And so hard. So,
yeah.
you know, we know exterminators that will come out and do it for a lot less.
Wow,
vet care.
Good to know.
Vet care mm-hmm. for older adults. Sometimes their pet is their only thing that
yeah.
lives with them.
Their main
right?
companion.
Their main companion. And so having an idea of vets that will lower their costs for people on fixed incomes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's yeah. really a great service.
Yeah.
By the way, every listeners, get your pencils ready at the end of the show. Lori's going to give you these numbers again. But yeah, so what other services Might be available to people in the community? Do you have?
Kind of through the, I'm thinking through the senior center.
Yeah, go
there
ahead.
Is a whole host of support there.
Well, VOA. You can come and for $2.50 a day, if you're over 60, you get a really good meal.
Yeah.
And they have Meals on Wheels, where you'll get 5 frozen meals, and every other week you get 2 more for the weekend, that kind of thing. They will take you to your doctor's appointments. If you don't have a friend or a relative that can take you, all you got to do is call Tina, and if you give her a week to 2 weeks' notice, she can work you into the schedule and get you to your doctor's appointment. But that is a first-come, first-serve. Mm-hmm. If your doctor's appointment is on the same date as somebody who called before, then, you got to learn to call right away when you learn when your appointment is, and they'll do that.
Donna, give that number now that they could call.
The VOA number?
Just the main number of Project Support. 303-567-2382, and the VOA office is the one that will pick up first. If it doesn't, their extension 101. I believe, if you wait through the whole thing.
Okay.
And I'm going to take a little credit because I pay for those programs, the nutrition and the transportation. Dr. Cog funds those programs.
Let me say that when I worked in Idaho Springs, I used to go periodically for lunch at Project Support. Yep. And it was great to visit with all my friends who were there.
Yep.
And the meals were excellent.
Yep.
They were.
The other thing, too, is if you live in Georgetown, Empire, anywhere in the county, and you want to come to lunch, you just call them, and they'll come pick you up.
Oh,
and then take,
how about
and,
that?
That's pretty nifty. And then you get to socialize, too, right?
Yeah, right. It's a good group.
On certain days, they go to Safeway in the post office every single Friday.
Yeah.
And they pick out other days through the week to go over to Echo to get food.
Right.
They go to
King
Supers.
Bank.
Yeah, it's a food bank, and they go to King Supers. So if those are things you want to participate in, come have lunch. They always leave at 12:30. And, they bring you back and take you home if you need to.
What a great resource, huh?
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
And it's greatly underused. I got to tell you, it is greatly underused.
Yeah.
There are people out there who are hearing of this.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to encourage socialization.
Yeah.
And, boy, that is
it's
a great
important.
Place.
Yeah.
Just try it.
We also have become part of the Everyday Eats program. We're the pickup site for that. That is an income-based, so those on the lower end of the over 60 with less income, they get this great. I mean, I've opened one of those boxes and looked inside to see what all is in them, and they're pantry boxes. They don't
spoil. Shelf-stable food.
Yeah. And they're great.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of really good food in there.
Nice.
And then you don't have to eat it all that month. Just you keep building your pantry off those boxes, and they're delivered once a month, and there's plenty of food in there to help you stretch food or make food from beginning or anything. There's
How would people access that program?
Again, call Tina. She'll make sure you get a application.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, it is a income-based, but that monthly income is pretty darned high.
Well, I just want to emphasize the transportation piece here, because I think that if people knew that how easy it was to access that and how convenient that service is and that it's free, they would, I think, become routine participants. I'm sure of it.
Here's the thing. If you use it, I track all those numbers. I say, how many people are using this service? How many people are eating at the congregate meal site? How many meals are we delivering to home-delivered meals? If those counts go down, it's harder to justify getting resources for more, right?
Yeah.
So use the resources in your area, because One, it helps you, it helps your community, and it helps me get more money with the legislature to provide more services, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, it is a win-win situation when people use these services.
That's a feedback loop right there, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about this community paramedic program a little bit more. As a retired paramedic myself, I would say that the paramedics back in the day when I worked, this wasn't a formal program, but we would watch out for our patients, people that we knew needed to have eyes put on them occasionally. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's a great time to visit with someone who's coming into your home. You might be homebound, or you might not have many social opportunities, and at the very least, it's that. I would go in, and I'm sure they do very similar things now. I'd take people's vital signs, look at them, see if they look like they were maintaining themselves appropriately. And people would have questions about their medications. If I didn't know the answer, we would call the hotline and we'd discuss that with the hotline personnel. And it's just an opportunity to have someone care about you.
Uh-huh.
So I would highly support recommend anyone out there who is maybe struggling to manage their medications or the whatever program your doctors put you on, maybe even your meals, scheduling meals, whatever it might be, just having someone that you can bounce those questions off of is a tremendous resource.
Mm-hmm.
And so kudos to the ambulance service for making this a program that is easily accessible for everyone.
Yeah, the chat team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another program that I was thinking of is through the sheriff's office, and it's for seniors who are homebound, maybe, but if their family doesn't live around here and nobody sees them on a regular basis, it's a program where they can call the non-emergent number mm-hmm. for dispatch before 11 in the morning and just say, I'm okay. And that's really all they have to do. Or if they don't hear from these people by 11 in the morning, they're going to call a family member and say, have you heard from them? Did they forget to tell you that they had a doctor's appointment or something, And if mm-hmm. the family says, no, I haven't heard from them, they will dispatch an officer to do a welfare check on that person, which keeps the ambulance and the officers from discovering somebody who was left alone too long.
Let me just say one more thing about that. Whether it's the paramedics and or the sheriff's department, once you have made some kind of contact along those lines, I'd like somebody to just come out and say hi to me give a look at me for a minute and answer this simple question that I have. Once you're on, you've been contact, you contact them, they know that you're out there. Mm-hmm. And the cops, when they'll go by your house, and they might even stop on randomly on their own, the sheriff's mm-hmm. deputies or the paramedics know that you're out there. Let me stop by and see her today just to say hi.
That is so wonderful for a variety of reasons. Wonderful that the benefit of a smaller community, I'll mm-hmm. tell you.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't happen in larger communities, right?
Right.
But also for emergency response. One of the challenges that we have, the Area Agency on Aging has to have a emergency response plan. And it's really identifying where those people who are homebound are, right? So they can get out and get assistance if there's a flood or a fire.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing that in Coal Creek Canyon, really trying to figure out where we got folks that live at, 9,500 or 9,500 feet on goat trails. I mean, really, literally goat trails.
Yeah. And right, we have that here.
Yeah, we.
And so you're like, wow, how, if there were a fire, how do people know that you're there? Yeah. And how do we get you out, right? And they're on oxygen, and there's oxygen tanks in the front yard, and oh my goodness, right? Which all pose a lot of safety risks, but it's important to let people know that you're out there, just so they have a record.
Yeah, the first responder community, and I should add fire in there as well. They're welcome. You know, they're more than happy to come out and put their eyes on you. But you know, if you do have an emergency and you've never had contact with any of your first responder organizations, that call comes in. They may not know where you are.
Right.
You know. 159 a mountain goat trail, that may take some time for people to find your place.
Right.
Oh, I know where she is. Turn this way. Yep. You know, it's a huge thing.
There are people, old people living in miners' cabins.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
What is the address?
I don't know that there is
exactly.
one, right?
Exactly. So
two stones
identifying
left.
Yourself, making sure you are known, because this community cares about you and wants to know where you are.
Yeah, listen, that's so wonderful.
We could go on for hours, but I looked down at the time, and we're actually going over time a little bit. Lori, can you give those numbers again?
I sure can. So the project support number that Donna talked about, where you can reach the Senior Center and VOA, is 303-567-2382. For VOA, it is extension 101. Of course, for emergencies, it's always 911.
Mm-hmm.
And for the crisis support, through the CHAT team, the Community Paramedic Program, and this is really a good place. If you are not known in the county, this is a good place to start.
Yep.
That number is 303-670-7566. And then to reach Dr. Cog in the services that Jayla was talking about, that number is 303-480-6700. And I just want to thank you both for coming on today. This has been fun, and it's been so informative. We hope it's been useful to our audience out there.
Yes, and thanks from me also for joining us today. I had a blast talking with you, both of you, and we'll do it again sometime. Until next week, everyone, thanks for joining us here on What's Upstream. Bye.
Going down, what's coming to our town? It's gonna be good, hope it don't flood. Oh, it's what's upstream.